Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Writer's Block with Jim Christina and Bobby Bell, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Our five-year mission is to get Polinelli on the show for the 19th time.
Only 19. I'm just warming up.
Well, welcome to LA Talk Radio. This is, of course, the Writer's Block. And that's because it's Thursday at 7 p.m. Pacific. I am your host, Jim Christina, on the phone tonight with the lovely, vivacious Bobby G. Bell.
I'm so glad to be back.
I know, huh?
It's been weeks, it feels like.
This is like our after Thanksgiving after action report.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm glad to be back on the air again live. And last week, I believe we did a replay of John Sanford's show. And that's always a fun one to listen to. I mean, if I could listen to it forever.
Because
he was such a fun guest.
Yeah.
But all that being said, tonight we have Polinelli. What did I say?
I'm like the old ham sandwich 3 days after turkey leftovers ran out, right?
Yeah. It's after the turkey's getting a little green, but you say, what the hell, I'll eat it anyway.
There you go. I had a feeling you were going to go Star Trek or Star Wars. I wasn't sure which one you were going to do, but
well, Star Trek fits better.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah. So, hey, Richard, how you doing, buddy?
I am doing fine. It's great to be back on the show on the other side of the microphone as a guest this time. It's always a pleasure to be back on.
Oh, well, it's always a pleasure for us to have you back on.
Yeah, I was just telling my wife earlier, it's the three amigos again. This has been the first time in, what, 2 years the three of us have been on?
Yeah. Well, and you know, you're always a precursor to better guests coming. So, I mean, we have you, and then next week we have Toscali.
Now, I'm going to say something.
I didn't, man, Rich, I'm kidding you.
I'm like the warm-up act when the Stones go on tour, right? I'm just warming up for Tosca there.
Pretty much.
And Jim, I would like to say something about our esteemed alumni that's with us tonight. And yes. I told Richard this a little bit ago. To prepare for tonight, I just Googled, you know, Richard. I'd been to his website and whatever, but I was interested in interviews and other things. He has 10 Google pages.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. Like at the middle of page 10, it drops into other things. But it's 10, it's 9.5, nine and a half pages of just Richard Polinelli entries, after the next.
Hey, you got a camera and a microphone. I'm going to show up.
That's probably why he never answers his phone.
I live in Nebraska now. We have areas where cell phones just don't go, you know? It just doesn't work.
Omaha is not one of those areas.
I wish I was in Omaha all the time. Jeez, well, that would be nice.
Yeah. No. Anyway, Richard, of course, is the world-class author of science fiction, and he has recently been working on an anthology series with his grandson, and I want you to kind of give us a little idea of what that's like, Richard.
Oh, you're talking about the Timeless series. Yeah.
Yes.
That one's had kind of a strange origins to it. It really got its start about 10 years ago. If you go all the way back to the football player Mike Vick, when he got busted going to bars under the name Ron Mexico, somebody on the internet came up with the Ron Mexico alias generator. And we're on the sports desk goofing off one night and we're punching in our names. And my alias came up, Little John Singapore. And it was right behind John Mendelsohn's coming up as Rock Congo. So we're yakking about how it'd be great to have a book about Rock Congo and Little John Singapore and pirates and everything. And I filed it away because I'm still working newspapers then. I didn't have time for this. But we kind of fast forward to a couple of years ago when my grandson was visiting, and I realized I hadn't really written anything that he could read. And I wanted to do something that he could sit down and read and read with his friends, and I wouldn't have to worry about his mother getting mad at me. So he and I got to talking what kind of stories he would like, and he likes pirates, and he likes the old Egyptian mummies and the ancient Spartans and everything. And it kind of clicked in my head, you know, here's this, the Rock Congo, Little John Singapore pirate story that I had filed away. And maybe this would be the best time to bring it in. And, you know, obviously they got to be time traveling pirates somehow. And it just, as he and I were talking, it just kind of grew from that. And we were fortunate a few months back to get it started. The second one came out, I think, earlier this year. And the third one was supposed to be out this weekend, but, you know, something came up and we've had to back that up a month or two. But I hope it's a fun series. They're not very long stories. They're meant to be enjoyed by readers ages 10 all the way up to 110. It's something you can read with your kids or your grandkids and just have fun with. And that's really the drive behind it. And, you know, just to be able to do something with my grandson like this is really, really special.
Very cool. Very cool. I guess the time before we were on, we were talking about your book, Escaping Infinity.
Yep.
And I every now and then I drag that it's in my Kindle. And every now and then when I'm rolling through my Kindle, I'll stop and I'll look at that and I'll open it up and read a couple pages, and I forget how well written that book really truly is.
That was a great book. Yeah.
Wonderful story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've had a lot of people react positively to it. A couple of people have asked me what I was smoking when I wrote it, you know. and I've had, you know, what's surprising is I wrote it meaning for it to be a standalone, and I've had so many people asking me, you know, when's the sequel? And I'm what sequel?
the ending lends itself very well for a sequel.
It does. I didn't intend to, but, you know, with everybody bringing it up and I've looked at it, it's like, yeah, I could see where I could do a sequel, and I've got a rough idea for it, but you know, it's going to be, when can I get to it is the big problem right now.
Well, you know, that book to me, and not books, not many books, and God knows we read enough of them. Not many books do what Escaping Infinity does. And Escaping Infinity, the more you read it, it becomes more like a comfortable old pair of shoes. It just, you start seeing things that you never saw before, and you realize a lot of things about this book that on first read, it's a great story. But when you get into it the second and third time you've read it, my God, you see all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
It's really, really, really so well written.
Well, thank you. You know, what's funny is I've had so many people of different religions claim and swear that I must have been raised in their religion. And we're talking the gauntlet. You name the religion, you know, they've come up and said this. And there's one group, there's a Catholic writers group, and they invited me to join. I'm like, but I'm not Catholic. And they said, you're good. You're close enough. you're one of us. We read this book, you know. So, yeah, I'm an honorary member of more religions than I can count. I didn't really realize until I kind of took a step back and looked at it again that there's a lot of religious overtones, themes in it,
symbolism in it.
Yeah, and after that point, it was like, okay, I can see where people from this religion are thinking this way because of this, and this one from this. So, you know, it was kind of strange at the beginning, but I have kind of accepted it, and I understand where it's coming from now. And I just, the fact that people are reacting to it that way and they enjoy it so much, as a writer, that's all you can ask for.
Yeah. Bobby Jean, did you get a chance to dig into Pluto?
I had fully intended to read all the stories. I've read about half. I read the first, I don't know how many, up to about page 200. And then I started jumping around. It's really fun.
it's a different book. As an anthology, and I'm not used to anthologies, I'll be the first one to admit. In fact, I wrote that at the back of the book. I've never been into sci-fi, but now I realize that these writers are outstanding, and these stories were really great.
Yeah.
And they were so out. Some of them were so out there.
So out there. I guess the one thing that if I had a question, Richard, it might be, well, mm-hmm. I know the both of you have worked on this, would be two questions. One is sort of how did you find the authors to contribute, and what direction did you give them? Okay. Because I felt like some of these just mentioned that it's taking place on Pluto, and some are very much connected to Pluto. You know what
right.
I'm.
So that kind of dates back to how the series actually got started, and it dates back about two and a half years. There's a publishing company called Superversive Press. And they wanted to do a planetary anthology series where they did each of the nine planets. And I will say, as I always say when I talk about this, Pluto is a planet. And if you disagree with me, you're wrong. But we were going to do all nine. We were going to do all nine planets. And then they selected an editor for each volume. And mm-hmm. I volunteered for Pluto because I'm a big proponent of the planet and always have been. So I was named the editor. And what you would do is you would put out the submission call, and each planet had its own theme that was tied not only to the planet, but for the god that was associated with that planet.
Okay.
So, in Pluto's case, you know, Pluto, depending on which mythology you're going with, it's either Pluto or Hades is the name. So you're dealing with death, Hades being the god of death, but he was also a god of great wealth. And so that was the overall theme for Pluto, was stories that dealt with great wealth or death. They or were set on Pluto or around Pluto or involved Pluto in some way. So that was the parameters that we had to work with Pluto. And each planet has its own, you know, similar setup. Superversive got through the first five, and then just a lot of circumstances rose up. They weren't going to be able to finish it. And so the rest of us who had our anthologies together, and I was actually going to be the next one or the one after that was going to come out. You know, we're sitting there with a complete anthology ready to go and nowhere to publish it. But Superversive said, you know, if another publisher will step up and take over, we will just give you everything. And you can run with it. And Jim and I happen to have a publishing house.
Right.
And I was like, you know what? Pluto's getting, you know, we're going to get this out if I have to drag it across the finish line on my deathbed. So I talked to Jim and we decided to pick up the series. And so Pluto is our first release. But before then, basically, I had authors who submitted their stories. I think we had a total, it was somewhere between 40 and 50 submissions, cut it down to 21. Right. And that was a brutal cut because every story that I cut could have easily made it into the collection. The 21 that did were just a hair better. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've said, if we wanted to do a Pluto 2, we had more than enough stories.
Right.
But they were an incredibly wide range of authors, and these guys really hit it out of the park with these stories. We put Ben Michael Stevens in the first slot because his story, to me, really set the tone for the rest of the series of what you could expect from what was coming.
Well, besides the fact that it was the longest one in the book.
Yeah, you know, I was kind of worried about that. But it's you know, Ben is such an incredible young writer, and he's just getting started. He's only been, you know, out for about a year now. And he's such a great writer. And his story, when I was reading, and Don Witzke is the co-editor, because I wanted to have somebody who'd done an anthology before working with me. And we both agreed that that was just, you know, that was the story that kind of encapsulated the whole edition. So we put him in first. It's not to say his was the best story and the rest are just kind of, you know, hanging on the coattails. Every story in there is a great story. And I will exclude mine because mine was more kind of a goofy little story I wanted to get
into. I really liked your story, though. And it felt like the perfect way to close the anthology, too.
Yeah, and the title kind of explains why I got involved in Pluto, I think.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, let's cut it right there. We're going to go to a brief commercial for LA Talk Radio. Of course, that's the station that has us on every week and Thursday at 7 p.m. Pacific, and they're just wonderful sponsors, LA Talk Radio.
Hey, it's Jim Christina here for LA Talk Radio. And if you're like me and you love talk radio, but you just can't find anything worth listening to in that pesky little AM dial, then how about this? How about you tune into LA Talk Radio? You see, LA Talk Radio is the biggest and the best in LA and is a .com, so we have it all, from sports to music to self-help to, well, just about anything, including talk. And right now, it's coming right at you. Why don't you sit back and enjoy at www.latalkradio.com.
I can remember being in the Philippines when I was like 11 years old, 10 years old, and being at the high dive in the officer's pool on base. And that music was playing through the loudspeaker. And I was going off at a full dive. I wouldn't do it now to save my soul. But back then, I was like 10. I didn't care.
Music makes memories, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
And we are back in the studio with Bobby Jean Bell and Richard Polinelli. And if you want to call and talk to Richard tonight, and if you're one of the rudders that got thrown out of the book, respond, please give us a holler. The number here in the studio is 818-602-4929. Again, that number is 818-602-4929. I just wanted to also mention, Richard, that the title of this book is actually Tuscany Bay's Planetary Anthology Series, Pluto.
Yes, that's the official title.
That is the official title, which is a very cool title.
Yep, and it's book one of 11, because we're going to...
redoing all the other five.
Yeah, we will re-release the original five.
Right.
That's coming up in a few months, because Amazon's being Amazon, and we've got to, you know, deal with their silliness, and then once that we get that cleared up, we'll redo those. All the book covers are going to be kind of in a series. So we're going to have new book covers on the original five too. So they match up with what we're doing on the,
cool.
on the next six.
Very cool.
Right now we're butt deep to a tall Indian and working for Miranda. And her new book, which is, what's the name of it, Richard? I don't recall.
Just Breathe.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yes, you two are very busy and still creating your own work as well.
It's more difficult to do that daily.
You both have radio shows on top of that.
Well, actually, we have the radio show. Richard has a podcast.
Have a podcast that's dropping the video aspect of it. I think we tried it for the first year, and it is... thanks to Google getting rid of Google Hangouts. Unfortunately, Skype's recording on video is just not up to par. So next year we're just going to do audio only, but it'll be a podcast on another network, I should say.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's okay. Well, it's podcast, it still has to have the same amount of time and energy prepping as, you know, what we do, if not right. more.
Well, I mean, I don't spend 6 days a week on the radio, Bobby J.
Oh, no, I know, but we do read.
You
and
do.
I know. Well, for a variety of radio shows.
You had two shows on Thursday.
I have three shows on Thursday and one show on Saturday.
One that you pre-recorded and plays on Saturday night.
I don't know how you do that. I got one show a week and it's exhausting trying to get that thing done.
I mean, we're on our fifth year in this show, and it seems like I don't see an end in sight, to be quite frank.
No, isn't that lovely?
It is. And, you know, the more we try to kind of back off on writers, the more writers keep throwing stuff at us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, we got publicists coming out to USF just wanting to get their writers on the show. And I just,
it's what both of you have always said on this show is about promote. You know, this is a show that does promote. And share the nuggets of gold that our guests give us for new writers and for readers. But it is a fabulous way for an author to get some exposure. So everybody wins, but that's one reason everyone's looking, right, Richard, for your show too. Everyone's looking for the platform. Searching for the platform.
And what's nice is I get to meet writers that I have never heard of before. And obviously I've had writers on that I know, but you know, for example, our season finale was with Angelique L'Amour, who's Louis mm-hmm. L'Amour's daughter.
Yeah.
And what a way to end the season. You know, for me, that was great. Cause we spent, I think it was one of the longest shows we did. It was over an hour mm-hmm. and most of it, we talked about her growing up with her dad and him being a writer and some of the stories that she tells, of her talking with him, her getting into writing. And then in a way she kind of brought up something I'd never thought about. You know, even Louis L'Amour got a rejection slip every once in a while.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of okay. So if I get a rejection slip, it's not the end of the world because, you know, if he can get one, anyone could get one.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. It's just part of the game. You know, it's like in sales, they say for every no, you're just closer to a yes, you know, so it's the same, you know, for every no, you know, you're just getting closer to the one that says, yeah, want you.
Right. Yeah. So. And it's just nice having these authors come on. Cause I get to meet them. I've discovered some different, areas of reading that I hadn't explored before just because I've been talking with them. I've been fortunate. I've got people who are literally all over the planet. I think we've had two or three people from Australia, two people from South America, a couple from Canada. So and one from London. And he was a neat guest because I had no idea what I was getting into with him. And so he comes on and we just had a blast. And so that's kind of why I enjoy doing it is just the not only helping them promote themselves, but I get to meet them mm-hmm. and just kind of hear their stories.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, you know, we've said this from day one is that the premise of this program is number one is to talk to writers about their craft and their process and their books. But primarily it's for the new writers to glean all the information they can. And hopefully when they're listening to this program, they're like a sponge and they're mm-hmm. just, you know, sucking it up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is, you know, and we have had some absolutely phenomenal tapings on I did two shows that were done beforehand because the authors couldn't be in California at the time. They were there now. But they couldn't be the night of the show. So, and both times it was Russ. And we came into the studio like at noon on a Monday afternoon. And we did a show with Peter James, also a New York Times bestselling author and mm-hmm. a Pulitzer Prize winner. And as we were talking to Peter, we kept hearing some stuff going on. I said, "What are you doing?" And he says, "I'm drinking my martini, mate." Oh, my God. He goes, "You caught me right in the middle of the cocktail hour." Well, shut my mouth.
Because he was in England, right?
He's in London.
Yeah, he was in London. Yeah. Isn't that fun?
So, I mean, we've had, you know, some really wild times on this show. There was a night when Richard and I were on and John Heckenberger, and we couldn't get him to answer the phone.
Oh, yeah.
I remember that.
I mean, it's just like stuff, you know, it's live radio. Anything's liable to happen.
And then when he did answer the phone, he blurted right out right in the middle of one of the ad reads. So,
yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, you know,
it's live.
It's live. Yep. What are you going to do? It's just like you and Gary, Bobby Jean.
Oh, yeah.
Because you guys are live on Thursdays.
We are. And we, I'll just do a little plug. We just were honored with the 2019 International Western Music Association Radio Program of the Year for the second year in a row. We are stunned.
I'm very jealous.
Oh!
Jealousy goes a long way in my world. No, not really. Anyway, Richard.
Yeah.
So we have Pluto is ready to go. It came out today.
Yes, it came out today, December 5th.
Yes, it's ready to go. It's on sale right now. There are $16.95 for the printed book, and I think the ebook is like $4.99. Yeah.
Yeah, $4.99. We don't charge $499 for this. No.
Oh, not that one.
Not that one. It's big enough, but no, $4.99.
The value of The Last Lonely Trail is going way up. I mean, that book's going to start selling for $150. Easy.
Okay.
I got to make some money back on it.
Speaking of sequels, we have been requested by a few people have hit me with emails wanting to know when Armstrong and Hall are going to ride again.
I'm telling you, whenever. I just want to finish this one book I'm working on. Unfortunately, I've been so busy, I'm only on chapter 4. But I can pound it out pretty fast. I just want it to be a good story. I want it to be a good story.
That's true. Yeah. I'm looking with when we took on the anthology series, I knew that my writing schedule was going to be put on hold.
Oh, absolutely.
The third book in the Timeless series is Odin's Runes. And it, like I said, it was supposed to come out over Thanksgiving weekend. And when the anthology series hit, I just said, no, we're just going to push the books 3 and 4 back to January or February at this point, because it's just one, you know, once we get to a certain point, I think things are going to ease up for both of us. It's just, we got to get through this initial little crush, and then I'm going to be hitting the writing pretty hard again, because I've got those to finish. And then there's a series called Star Quest that an award-winning science fiction writer, John C. Wright, is creating. Uh-huh. And I'm going to be a part of that, and I better get my butt in gear and get that written for him. Otherwise, he will be displeased, and you do not wish to have Mr. Wright displeased with you. So.
Oh.
Yeah.
Why has he got a big gun or what? I mean,
right now, John could put out a book with nothing in it and sell a million copies on the first day. Oh,
I understand now.
Yeah.
It's all coming clear.
Yeah. So, you know, he's been gracious enough to invite me into his sandlot. So I'm going to behave myself and do what he says.
Uh-huh. Well, it's just like everything happened at one time. I mean, you called about the Pluto and then the entire anthology series. And then I got an email from my publicist, Mickey Mickelson, at Creative Edge. And he wanted us to talk to Miranda Oh about doing her book. So, and now there's a couple other people that now have contacted me and are curious or interested in getting their books done.
Yep.
So
that's how it rolls.
Yeah. The next book in the series is going to be Luna, and I've actually am pretty close to having it as done as I can make it. And then it's just when we're ready to put it through the last bit of paces to get it out. So I don't think we have a release date on it, but that should be the next one out. And then we travel way out in the solar system for Uranus, which is pretty close to being ready to come to me.
It's Uranus. It's always
good. I'm going to say Uranus.
I was curious about that. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. No, trust me. The editor and I have traded some of the worst possible jokes about that poor planet's name.
Oh, well, so, it's been a joke ever since I was in
Yeah.
junior high.
Yeah. So they'll be coming out, you know, in pretty regular fashion. And, you know, I know there's 9 planets. I'm saying there's 11 books. That's because Superversive had decided they wanted to do one for the sun and one for the moon. And we've kept those intact as well. So, you know, it'll be 11 books when it's done. The thing that's saving my bacon is we have 10 other editors who are doing a very good job of herding cats and keeping their authors in line and getting stuff when requested. So, you know, it at the beginning, it was kind of rough because we're trying to get everything organized and sorted out. But I think it'll smooth out and it'll go pretty quick and pretty easy for us.
Yeah. I editing the book is I mean, that's, I don't know, you know, if you're going to content edit or just, you know, grammar edit, but formatting, my God, I'm working on Miranda's book right now and it's already been edited, but yep. Holy crap. I mean, now I'm not even going to go into it, but right now I am going to give a shout out to Out West and the wonderful folks out there at Albuquerque, New Mexico. And if you wouldn't mind, Ronin.
The Writer's Block is sponsored by Out West Shop, your online portal to great Western apparel. Log on to outwestshop.com to see the latest in men's and women's Western and country Western inspired apparel and accessories. Click on Out West Live for on-demand live Western music concerts, Western music and equestrian lifestyle radio show podcasts, as well as this one, The Writer's Block. Why not listen while you shop? Use coupon code RADIO to save on your purchases this month. OutWestShop.com delivers the West to you no matter where you hang your hat, door to door and around the world. Remember, it's always a great day out West.
And it's always a wonderful day in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
And Jim... Jim and Bobby are the jingle bells this time of year. So if you shop now, we can get it to you in time for the holiday gift giving deadlines.
Oh, hot darn holy shucks. There you go. Out West, your store for the Western stuff.
You know, it's strange, isn't it? 2 years ago, we'd be having this conversation on the 48th floor of the building there in Burbank, right?
Yeah.
And now you're in Idaho, and Bobby's down in Albuquerque, and I'm hanging out here in Omaha.
I'm in my studio hovel in Star, Idaho.
And we all avoided the fires.
Yes.
That we did.
Oh, my God, yes. We had snow, actually, last weekend.
Uh-huh. We had snow here, but we missed it because we were in Las Vegas. But we had 4 inches on Thanksgiving Day here. It kind of changed, you know, Albuquerque's not quite sure what to do with 4 inches of snow.
Yeah, well, my dog wasn't quite sure what to do with 4 inches of snow.
Well, we had Snowmageddon last year here. We had 80 inches of snow piled up by the time the winter was over. And I'm sure everybody's heard about the flooding that we've dealt with. There are still roads that are underwater from that.
Wow.
Oh, man.
Wow. Every area has something, right?
Yeah. So we're hoping for a drier winter this year. That.
Well, on a brief aside, my son called me the other day. So I believe it was Saturday, maybe. I don't know, Friday, Saturday. And he goes, I haven't been home yet. And I said, well, why not? And he goes, well, because he's taking a job in Laughlin. He's working at one of the big resorts there. And he said, well, it's been torrential pouring rain here in Laughlin and Arizona. And he goes, there's 3 roads going into Topok, Arizona, is where he lives. And all 3 were washed out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so he was living temporarily in a truck stop in his car.
Wow.
I know.
Well, we delayed coming back from Las Vegas one day because last Friday from almost hitting the state line in Arizona and all the way to Albuquerque through Kingman and up to Williams and all was 10 to 12 inches of snow that entire you know, like 10 hours of our 11 hour drive. Oh. And we said, you know, we're going to wait a day. And we were glad we did. So yeah, it's, you know, it's just, it, every area has something.
Right. Well, I also want to say, Richard, that, of course, Tuscany Bay's planetary anthology series, Pluto, is available today at all online booksellers. Amazon.com only. So you can only get it online. There's no stores carrying it unless they want to buy copies and put it in there. And if the authors can't want to buy copies, they can get them from us directly, and you'll be able to get them from the authors. So it's a very limited release, but it is available readily if you go to Amazon or any of the online booksellers and just type in Tuscany Bay's Planetary Anthology Series, Pluto, and it'll come right up for you.
Perfect Christmas gift. Perfect Christmas gift.
Yep. 470 pages of fun stuff.
And they are. Jim, did you have a kind of a favorite? Or I guess that's, as an editor, that's maybe hard to ask. But
well, I didn't edit. I proofread and I formatted.
Okay.
Yeah.
And but I mean, I had to read pretty much everything.
Sure.
I don't know that I really had a favorite. I mean, I was dead set against science fiction. I mean, I even said that.
But we read a lot of science fiction.
I know, and you know, I just never really. But the authors that were in this book were so good.
Yeah. And
some of the stories were so good. I don't know that I had a favorite. I do know that there were some that stuck with me more than others.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was this guy Richard Polinelli. He wrote one at the end, a really ridiculously funny story.
Yeah, but it's really cute.
About Disneyland.
Disneyland and Pluto.
Hey, tell me you saw the picture, the first real picture of Pluto close up, and you looked at that plane and you didn't see Pluto's outline there. The dog Pluto from Walt Disney. Tell me you did not see that.
I didn't see it.
Okay.
I don't remember, but when I look at it now, I can see it now.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. It's kind of the basis for that story was, you know, how did Walt Disney know? Uh-huh. You know, was there something going on there? And it was meant to be a silly story, not to be a serious one. And I just want to have a little fun with it. Yeah.
Well, there's a number of I would say a number of lighthearted.
Yeah.
The rainbow colored rock hopper was pretty funny.
That was a good one. Yeah.
Am I reading?
I didn't want it to be because the, you know, one of the main topics was death. Yeah. I didn't want it to be doom and gloom and, you know, by the time you get to the end of this thing, it's like, ugh. So we definitely wanted that, you know, some lighthearted stories. And they all, the superversive theme is that it tells a story and it has in some fashion an uplifting theme or an uplifting ending so that you're not all, you know, doomed and depression and feeling bad about things.
Yeah.
So, and we're going to continue that. That's not going to change just because, you know, there's a new publisher in town. So we want that feeling. And I think it's important, and it's a concept that I've bought into, you know, long before we took the series over, is I tend to write that way anyway. You know, you can have some dystopian things going on, but have a ray of hope at the end or something that people can latch onto and feel good about. And that's why we got some of the stories in. I don't have a favorite story, but I have a favorite line in the book. And it's at the beginning of Bukera Brumley's story, The Pluto Chronicles, where she says, or one of the characters says, the chicken has to die.
Yes.
Yes.
Chickens on Pluto. Killer chickens on Pluto.
Where are we going with this one? Well, and I liked very much Time Out for Pluto, which is the second story. And I thought as I was reading through that the putting together, it's like a set list. You know, if you're working on a playlist for a CD and you're trying to figure out what song should follow what song, you must have to do the same thing with this. And did you sort of move them around, you know, until you felt like, okay, this is it? Or how do you go about you thinking through the eyes of the reader? How do you go about creating that table of contents?
By the time we got to that point, both Don and I had probably read every accepted story at least three times, and I know we read every submission at least once or twice. So by the time we got the cuts done, by the time we picked the ones that we wanted to go with, and we had a word count cap. So, you know, we're keeping an eye on that at the same time as we're going through. And fortunately we were able to not have to make a cut because it put us over the cap. So that didn't happen. It was just, we picked the 21 stories that we thought were best. By the time we got that done, and by the time we got the edits back to the authors and they sent their changes back and we went through everything again, we had a pretty good idea of, you know, what every story was about and a good read on it. And I did try to kind of keep it from getting too heavy for too long of a time. So mm-hmm. you kind of break mm-hmm. it up a little bit. Mm-hmm. There were some stories I put together because they tended to kind of naturally flow from one to the other, just from the feel that I had for it. So a lot of it is just feel. I mean, you, as the editor, you know, you're aware of your material and you know kind of what you want to do with it. I don't think we did a whole lot of juggling. I put my story last on purpose for two reasons. One, because I wanted something very light at the end. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I wanted the other authors to kind of be a little higher up, get the attention first. So mm-hmm. I kind of put myself at the back end for that reason, because I really want people to read these stories. The other 20 authors are amazing writers, and they created an amazing story for our collection. And I hope people will seek out their other stories. There's going to be a lot of people who have more than one story in the anthology series.
That was my next question. Okay.
Yeah. We've got, in fact, Bukera Brumley, who I mentioned, and April Freeman are, I think they have a decent shot at being in all 11 books.
Oh, wow.
Right now they're in 8. So I'm waiting here on the last 3, if they made it for those 3.
Very cool.
And that's the other thing we did, if we have time. Sure. Each book has its own editor, and the editor makes the call. What story gets in, what story doesn't get in. And I've had some people try to do an end round once we took it over. Hey, you know, I submitted and it got declined. Any way we can get it back in? Like, no. The mm-hmm. editor makes that call, and I will mm-hmm. support that editor, you know, 100%. Mm-hmm. And I've told the editors, because there's 3 books that has submitted to that we haven't got finalized yet. And I told them, just because we've taken it over and I'm part of the publishing team, that doesn't mean I'm an automatic in. Right. You pick the best stories you've got. And mm-hmm. if my story isn't one of them, boot it out. You'll never hear a word from me.
Right. And another thing that I probably, this is a really good time to mention this, is that if you're an author out there and you want to be in an anthology, or you want to submit something to Tuscany Bay Books, please make sure that you send us a letter of introduction, a brief synopsis of your book, and at least the first 2 or 3 pages, Times New Roman, 12-point, double-spaced. Please, 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 please. We'll take care of everything else.
We have two of the anthologies, Neptune and Soul, are still open. So if you want to try to sneak a story in real quick, and I do stress real quick, go to the website, www.tuscanybaybooks.com. There's a page there. You can see what they are about, and you can, you know, send it in and see if you can get in. Those two are the only two that are still open at this point.
There you go. And right now, let's get hear from my publicist and your friend, Mickey Mickelson, over at Creative Edge Publicity.
Okay, you've written a book. Now what are you going to do? Well, why don't you give Creative Edge Publicity a try?
You see, when Creative Edge Publicity was founded in 2016, they immediately showed they weren't the same as other publicity firms. Like an old pair of shoes or an old friend, they work closely with their individual clients' needs and goals and push harder to get them noticed. Creative Edge believes that communication is an important part of the partnership, and that model is how they have built their success. They collaborate and they work with local, national, and international media outlets and organizations to meet their clients' goals. So Creative Edge, it's your brand, your future. Mickey Mickelson Publicists, and you could find them at www.creative-edge.services.
And that's not fooling. And if you're looking for a publicist and you really need to have one, if you're a writer or a beginning writer, contact Mickey. And that website again is www.creative-edge.services. There's no .com, no .net. It's .services. And Mickey will be back to you within a day. I can almost guarantee it. Anyway, golly. We have come such a long way, Richard.
Yeah. I was just thinking it's it's been about 3 years since the first time I was on the show.
Yeah.
And a lot has happened in between.
There's a lot of water under the bridge, that's for sure.
Oh yeah. You know, it's funny. When I first started and I wrote Reservations, I had no clue where I was going with my writing journey at that point. And looking back the last three, four years, if you had told me everything that has happened was going to happen back then, I'd have laughed at you. And yet, you know, I look back and here we are. I mean, I had a story that I wrote for an anthology, a Sherlock Holmes story called The Woman Returns, which deals with Holmes and Irene Adler. And it was published in an anthology about a year and a half ago. And, you know, that's cool. And I thought that was the end of that. And a London publisher decided to start creating coffee table books where they take a Sherlock Holmes short story, give it to an artist who creates some type of a painting based on the story. And they reached out and wanted to use The Woman Returns in their collection that they just released about a month ago. And so there is a painting floating around South Florida, and you can buy the book that is was created simply because I wrote a Sherlock Holmes story. And
wow.
That still kind of blows my mind. I'm still having a hard time wrapping my head around the fact that I created something that inspired somebody else to create something.
Well, I'm thrilled the fact that I wrote something that came off of 150,000 in Amazon. As now, I mean, I've worked my way down to like 26,000 as far as popularity goes. That's Jonah Blue. So I'm pretty stoked with that.
You know, I keep telling people, if you want to read one of the best Westerns that's probably been written in a long time, Jonah Blue's the one to get. You did an incredible job with that book.
Thank you.
I hated to see it come to an end because like, no, I want more. I want more story here. So yeah, you should be extremely proud of that one. And if I remember right, Jonah Blue is the one that is on the required reading list at a college still.
Citrus College. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's pretty cool. I'm pretty proud of that book, I have to tell you.
Well, you should be. You should
and
be.
And I also have to say, Bobby Jean, while I have you here listening, not that you've fallen asleep or anything.
No, I'm here. I'm here.
Jerry got an email today from Court Joyner.
Oh.
And Court and Steve Carver want to be back on.
Yes. And you know, the book is out now.
Yes, I know. It finally made it.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to having them on. I mean, that would be more fun if we had them in the studio because they were a lot of fun in the studio.
Oh, that was so much fun. Yeah. But I'm so excited he got the book out. And
yes, me too.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm having a senior moment. It was Courtney, the one who wrote Nemo Rising?
Yes.
Okay, thank God. I was losing my mind over here.
Oh, yeah. He does. Court's just like, he's like this multi... He's like an octopus. He's got an arm and everything.
Well, you know, it's funny. Sometimes you get, I don't want to say roped into something, but you wind up doing something you never thought you'd ever do. I mean, I just had an anthology I was part of came out about 2 months ago. It's a zombie anthology. I never in the world thought I would write a zombie story, and here I am writing a zombie story. So,
well, don't you have a zombie Christmas? I saw on Amazon. I think?
Yeah, that was more kind of a me being ornery and telling someone what they could go do with themselves, basically.
Well, you know, Court wrote Nemo Rising because I think he said he just had a wild hair and wanted to see where it would go.
Yeah.
It's and it took off like a scalded cat.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think there's a board game or a computer game that's out now, too, that was in the works for a while. Yeah.
But yeah. Yeah. So look, hey, Richard, we're out of time.
I was just about to say we should be probably getting out of here, shouldn't we?
So, yeah. So thanks for sitting up and putting up with Bobby Jean and I for the last 50 minutes.
Well, thanks for having me on. I always enjoy coming on.
As always, it's been fun. And, of course, you can catch all of Richard's books at Amazon.com, and there are two numerous to mention. So,
where are they?
Make sure that you go and you check out the anthology, Planetary Anthology series, Pluto. It's available today on Amazon.com, and you can go to any online bookseller and catch it. And I coming from the guy who formatted the book and read the book, I love it. And I'm a cowboy guy. So there you have it. Next week, we have all of our favorite authors back on with us. Another New York Times bestselling author, Tosca Lee, will be joining us on our little radio show here in L.A. And we look forward to talking to her because last time she was so much fun. She gave us the visual of sitting up in her barn office and watching her dog jump up to the window.
Yes, and I think the drone didn't her.
Yes, her kids and husband playing with the drone.
I still can't.
And looking at the window, right?
Well, her ranch is just down the road, so I'm sure they've got all sorts of stuff roaming around down there.
Yeah.
And her phrase is, "Write drunk, edit sober."
That's right.
That works for me.
Okay, for Richard Polinelli, I used to be able to say that when he was sitting across from me in the studio. For Richard Polinelli, Bobby Jean Bell, and myself, Jim Christina, we hope you have a great rest of your holiday season. We'll be back next week with Tosca Lee. And until then, what did we say, Bobby? We are out of here.